the Gospel Hour, making known to this nation the gospel of Jesus Christ. Stay tuned for today's message that was preached and recorded by the founder of the Gospel Hour, Evangelist Dr. Oliver B. Green.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Gospel Hour. I'm David Green, director of the Gospel Hour, inviting you to stay tuned with us for the next half hour as we bring you a great song today and wind down this week's installments in our series of messages on the cross, as preached and taught by my late father, Dr. Oliver B. Green. Of course, the series will continue next week, Monday through Friday, for many weeks to come. So don't miss a single installment. But right now, let's hear Trust and Obey. And after that, Dr. Green.
And now, here with our message, Oliver B. Green.
Direct us, our Heavenly Father, as we study today. My heart's desire and prayer to Thee, O God, is that Jesus will be glorified, sinners will be convicted and saved, Christians will be built up in the inner man. We ask it all to the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen. For two or three days now, I've been reading from Isaiah 53 and then giving you verses in the New Testament where these prophecies were fulfilled in the cross. Today I read one verse, then we go to the New Testament. In Isaiah 53 and verse 6, and I have saved this one until last intentionally. Isaiah 53 and verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him, that is, God, laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. Now note, the Lord, Jehovah, the Lord, laid on him, Jesus the Lamb, the iniquity of us all. Now, I have some great books on Hebrew and Greek, and I was studying one of these books, and this man says that here the language is entirely too mild for the Hebrew words used. For instance, in Amos 5:19, the same word is used, and it reads, a bear met, and that word met, a bear met him. Now, can you imagine what it would be if you were in the forest and all of a sudden you should come face to face with a bear? Now, that is the picture set forth. The Lord God laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. Think of all the iniquity of all the people laid on one man. Think of that. And then the same word is used in 1 Kings 2:25, and it speaks of a man about to kill another man. He fell, the word fell. He fell upon him that he died. He fell upon him. That is, he killed him. Now, the strong word, God laid on Jesus. God laid on Jesus the iniquity. No wonder he cried out. And then in Job 36 and verse 32, the word is used, the cloud that cometh betwixt, the cloud that cometh, that word cometh. Now, Jesus stands today between you, that is, if you're born again, and a holy God. His blood is the covering, the thick covering, we might say, that stands between God's holy eyes and your sin. When God looks upon the believer, God sees the pure, sinless, righteous blood that covers the heart of the sinner. Now, with that in mind, remember, God, Jehovah, laid upon Jesus the iniquity of us all. Now, in Ephesians, I ask you to turn to Ephesians chapter 1, Paul writing to the believers, in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, I want you to underline those two words, in, that little preposition, in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him. Now, you say, Brother Green, I didn't know you believed in predestination, and I didn't know you believed in election, and I did not know you were a hyper-Calvinist. I'm not. I'm not a hyper-Calvinist. I don't believe in fanatical predestination, in that some are predestined to be saved and some are chosen to be saved, while others are predestined and chosen to be lost. I don't believe that. I believe that the church was chosen before the foundation of the world. And the church was predestinated. And I believe that individuals who make up the church, believers, when you become when you believe and become a child of God, you are predestined. You are chosen because you believe. Now, since God is sovereign, and this has nothing to do with the free will of man, but God is sovereign, and God knows the end in the beginning. All-powerful, knows all, sees all, God. Therefore, God knows everything that will happen to every person from eternity through eternity. But that doesn't affect the free will of man. When you believe on Jesus, you become one of the chosen. You are chosen because you believe. And if you do not believe, you are not chosen. All right. So the church as a body was predestined, was elected, was chosen. But the church is made up of individuals who believe on Jesus. And when they believe, they are chosen to become a member. For instance, if you were building a very fine mansion, and let's say you're building that mansion out of brick, and you are a master bricklayer. You are a master, not just an ordinary bricklayer, but a master. You are the best, one of the best in all the world, and you're chosen to build the mansion, and the brick are there. Would you just pick up a brick and put it in the wall and never look at it? No. On any fine house, some bricks are rejected. Maybe the color is not right. Maybe there is a chip on a corner. Any efficient brick mason will discard a brick that is off color or a brick that is chipped. Now, we are stones in the building. I read this the other day. We are builded together a temple, the habitation of God. Now, you are accepted or rejected not on grounds of predetermined election or predestination. You are chosen or rejected because of your faith or your lack of faith. If you believe, you are chosen. If you refuse to believe, you are rejected. And you become a stone in the building of God. When you believe on Jesus, you are chosen to become a part of the building. Now, predestination doesn't bother me. And election doesn't bother me, not one iota. The sovereignty of God doesn't bother me. God knows everything about everybody, but that doesn't change the free will of man. God is love, not a dictator. You're not a machine. You are a free moral agent with a mind and a spirit, a will, and you have the ability, and God has given you the right to choose Jesus or to serve the devil. If you want to serve the devil, you can serve the devil. But if you want to be saved, God will save you. And you're not elected to go to hell. Don't you ever let anybody tell you that you are chosen or elected to spend eternity in hell. That's not so. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now, the only way to be holy is to possess Jesus. You can't be holy within yourself. You can't live holy. Holiness lives in you. The flesh is flesh. And there has never been but one body of flesh that never sinned. And that was the body in which Jesus lived. That is, the house, the tabernacle of humiliation. Jesus never sinned in the flesh. He's the only man that ever lived that never sinned in the flesh. We are holy because we possess God's holiness. We are blameless because we possess God's Son in the person of the Holy Spirit. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Well, now, Brother Green, why don't you stop there? I am. Just let me get my breath. Let me get a good deep breath. And I'm stopping right there. And that verse doesn't bother me. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. Certainly. Why? Why am I adopted into the family of God Almighty? God didn't knock me in the head and drag me into the kingdom the night I was saved. You know why I'm adopted? I stood in the doorway of a church, a little country church. I heard God's man preach God's word. I was convicted of sin. I went forward. I talked to the minister. I didn't give my heart to Jesus then. I went back. I was standing in the door. And then after the service, everyone was gone except the minister and the persons with me. They were in the automobile. I went back in the church, and there was not a soul in there but the minister. And he was closing the windows and the doors. He was the pastor, the janitor, everything, a country church. And I talked with the minister. He read the scripture to me, and I received Jesus. I didn't understand it, but God understood, and God knew what I desired, and I accepted Jesus. And God adopted me as his child. I was an alien, but God adopted me. Why? Because I believed on his Son. And when God adopted me because I believed. And when I believed, I was predestined to become a son by adoption. And it is God's will to make all believers sons. Anyone who puts his faith in Jesus is predestined to be a son. He is adopted into the family of God. He is a child of God. That doesn't change the free will of man, not one iota. Now, it all occurs because, or rather according to, the good pleasure of his will. to the praise of the glory of His grace. And remember, by the grace of God, Jesus died. Had it not been for God's grace, Jesus could have never died. He would not have died. God would not have permitted His death if it had not been for grace. Grace, God's grace, permitted the death of Jesus. Hebrews 2:9, I read that the other day and we discussed it. Now read, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Wherein God has made us. We do not become, we are created, we are made, created in Christ Jesus. We are the product of His mighty power. Created in Christ, made accepted in the Beloved. Now, there are three, remember I ask you to underline in Christ. We are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. That's in verse 3, Ephesians 1:3. In Christ. Now, verse 7, in whom we have redemption. All right, verse 11, in whom we have obtained an inheritance. Verse 13, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth. Now, I want to talk about the minutes we have left. I want to talk about those three statements, in whom. Now, the cross, remember, the cross, Jesus, here it is, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. The riches of God's grace, God's rich grace, was displayed on Calvary in Jesus. God's wisdom, God's manifold wisdom, was displayed on the cross in Jesus. Now, God in Christ reconciled all who will believe unto Himself. Now, I'm leaving that for just a moment, and I'm reading this, and if you'd like to turn, and then we're going back to that quickly because I don't have very much time left for the message today. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, for He hath made Him to be sin for us. He, God, hath made Him, Jesus, the Lamb, to be sin for us who knew no sin. Jesus did not know sin. That we might be made, M-A-D-E, made, the righteousness of God in Him. In Him, in Him, in Him, in Him. Now, if I can get that across to you today, this time is well spent. The money for these broadcast through many stations from coast to coast is well spent. And I'll guarantee you, if I can get that across to you, you'll never doubt your salvation again. Never. You'll never worry. You'll never fret. You'll never fear. But you'll enjoy abundant victory, life, and joy from this day forward. If I can get it across to you that you are what you are spiritually because you are in Christ. And you are in Christ because God so loved you that God gave Jesus to die on the cross, that you, through faith in His blood, might be the recipient of all God has. I'm talking about everything that God has and possesses is yours in Christ. In Christ, but only in Christ. We are blessed with all heavenly blessings. Now let me read this verse again in 2 Corinthians 5:21. For He, God, hath made Him, Christ, to be sin for us. God did it. God did it. God made the sacrifice. God made the offering. And He did that we might be made. The thing I'm trying to get across to you, we do not become a Christian gradually. We do not become righteous or holy gradually. It is not a gradual process, but the moment, yea, the second, because there's 60 seconds in a moment or in a minute, and it doesn't take but about 2 seconds to say, yes, Lord, I receive Jesus. And when you do, God creates in your heart a new life. we are a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. I just read 2 Corinthians 5:21. Now we must get back to Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, in whom, in Christ, through his blood, redemption, according to the riches of his grace. Now, my sins are not forgiven according to my ability, according to my holiness, my righteousness, but according to the riches of God's grace. In the blood, my sins are forgiven. I am redeemed according to the riches of God's grace. Now, verse 11, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. It's God's will. God saves us for Jesus' sake. It is God's will to save all who will believe on Jesus. It is God's will to redeem all who believe on Jesus. It is God's will to adopt into the family of God, all who believe on Jesus, and all who believe are predestined to an inheritance according to the purpose of God's own will. It's God's will, it is God's good pleasure to bless his children and to give to them the kingdom. And one day we'll reign with Christ. Now, in verse 13, in whom ye also trusted, in Christ, ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth. So you see, hearing the word of truth is imperative if you trust. You cannot trust until you hear the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Sealed with the Holy Spirit, which is the earnest, and that's the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession under the praise of his glory. Now, that is all ours because of Calvary. God so loved that God gave his only begotten Son, that we, to the praise of his glory, according to his will, might be redeemed, might have an inheritance, and might be sealed with the Holy Spirit, who is the earnest or the guarantee that we will receive our spiritual inheritance. Are you covered by the blood of Jesus? If you're not, I beg you now to trust in his shed blood. Father, in the name of Jesus, convict deeply and save the unsaved. May poor church members who've never been born again through the blood, may they receive Jesus now. We ask it in his name. Amen.
Friends, this is David Green again, and before we close today, I want to be sure you know about our new gift offer, M. The letter M is all you need to ask for to get this great offer. It contains a new book here at the Gospel Hour that we have assembled in memory and honor of my dad's passing 50 years ago today. And it also contains two other items, especially related to my dad, and a 4-page tract that we feel goes very well with the new book. And all of that's available to you if you request Gift Offer M and can send the donation to the Gospel Hour in the amount of $15 or more. Now, if you can send $20, $25, even more, I urge you to do so because your donations are needed every day. And I also know that many of you will want to order several sets of this offer to share with others. To do that, just tell me how many sets you want and please enclose a donation of at least $15 for each set that you order. and in return, I'm going to send you these great items. Now, first of all, I'm going to send you the 4-page tract, 3 Steps to Heaven's Reward, talking about 3 wise men in the Bible. I'll send you 5 copies of the tract, and then I urge you to order more to pass around in your neighborhood. Then I'm sending you a 5x7 color photograph of my dad that he autographed. Of course, this is a reproduction of the autograph, but it is a very nice item to keep. Also, a bookmark to go along with the new book. The front of it is a photograph of the cover of the book, and on the back is my dad's favorite verse of scripture. Finally, the new book I'm talking about is Joy Cometh in the Morning. It is, of course, based on Psalm 30, verse 5. It's 98 pages long, plus a composite photo of the Gospel Hour through the years, as well as a great introduction by me and a timeline of my dad. So to get all of this, just ask for Offer M and send your gift of at least $15. Here's how to make your donation.
Friends, to order this week's gift offer or to contribute to this ministry, write to us at the Gospel Hour, Post Office Box 2024, that's 2024, Greenville, South Carolina, 29602. Or call us toll-free Monday through Friday between the hours of 8:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time at 1-800-745-0324. That's 1-800-745-0324. You may use your Visa, Discover, or MasterCard anytime you write or when you call. You can also place your order online 24 hours a day by visiting our website at www.thegospelhour.org. Here also you may order other materials available through this ministry. To receive an audio CD of today's message, be sure to give us today's date and enclose a gift of at least $5 to cover the cost of production and handling.
Friends, this is David Green again. On behalf of myself and the entire Gospel Hour family, I want to thank you for tuning in to the program today. I hope you received a blessing today and will tune in again each and every time you can. And so, until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you in His will.